Okay, I am on. You guys on? Are you on? Yeah. Okay, I'm glad you're on. It's a great day. Praise the Lord. Yay! Somebody's got it. Good, good, good. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to share some win stories. Those are stories that end good. Sometimes stories don't start good, but it's how you end, right? So how many of you know our friend Michelle? Michelle Knob. Michelle, man, if you were to describe Michelle, you'd say faithful. Man, just faithful. She's been in children's ministry. I don't know. She's going to go home meet Jesus, and she'll still be in children's ministry. I love her. She's just been a blessing. She plays keys sometimes like that. A month or so ago, she got a report that, well, she had some symptoms, some alarming symptoms of kidney stones. So they were, the doctors were doing all their thing, and that's really wonderful. And then we were doing our side of the story, which was we were praying for her. And it's probably a week ago, she went in and they were like, man, girl, we're taking you in. You're going to go have this kidney stone taken out, blasted, or whatever they were going to do. Well, they went in and checked her out. It was gone. Now, you can get rid of kidney stones, right? You will know when you get rid of them. Okay, so we don't know. She says, nothing. God blew it up or something like that. But that's a win. So praise God. You know, so we pray about it. We use wisdom about it, but that's a win. The other win was, Lane, can you pop up? I know you're all over the place. Can you pop up last Sunday? Okay. So last Sunday, we were supposed to have our outdoor big picnic over at Sunset Park in West York, and I really enjoy it. We had scheduled a whole bunch of things, and as I checked the weather, it was like 100% rain, and it did. Last Sunday poured, so we at the last minute, sort of the last minute, but yeah, last minute, moved it inside after church, and I was not my sweetest, but I was working on it, okay? Just love me and go, Pastor D, I'll help you. When you see that look, all right. But we had a good time. Jason Salmon, Mark Salmon, Jared Nicholas were the grill masters in the rain. Do we have that coming up? So as they finally finished grilling in the rain, and you would know that they were here in the building because they would walk by you and you would just smell charcoal. Yeah, that was our makeshift. We thought we'd build a canopy and you could grill underneath there. Needless to say, I gave them a tarp that was full of holes, but you know, it was in my garage. All right, then we have our pinata time. So this is our third year and we do a pinata and we stuff it with candy and we let our little kiddos just bash it. But it ended up by being our big kiddo. Who did it? Tyrese, and he was the king for the day. It was so cute. So, they'll get to it. So they finally smashed that. And by the way, where are you going to hang it? Someone says, hang it from our chandelier. No. So we drug in our, is that a 12-foot ladder? It's the biggest one we got here. And we hung Lane over the top, and he's hanging and dangling this thing, and kids are just as cute as can be. About then, I'm tired, okay? I was trying a happy face, and I'm like, could you all go home? I'm just being honest. It's been a long day. It was a long 48 hours. You should not lie, and you should be honest. So I figured after we did the pinata, we should go home because Pastor D was tired. But we decided to play bingo, and I haven't played bingo since I was 6, and it was at my dining room table. So I was like, oh, guys, go home. It was the coolest thing. How many of you stayed for bingo? It was the coolest thing. I watched people just laugh, cut up, just have a great old time. Where's Stacy? Is she downstairs now? Stacy, we thought this would just be the adults. And, oh, yeah, I'll get to that one here. So, but we let kids play. It was beautiful watching kids learn their numbers and crazy adults and stuff. And it also brought this, like, calming thing going on. And that's about the time I finally chilled out. So thank you for praying for me. We're praying for next year's weather. But, hey, I call that a win. It was just a great day. And we had about 95 people stay and looks pretty good today. So we had a pie eating contest. They did show that. James. James won the pie eating contest. Who said I don't like whipped cream? Your kid. I was like, well, what do you want, blueberry pie? Yes. That's what she was expecting. I know. I was like, okay. But anyway, we had a great time. Thank you for all the people that helped. Thank you for all that came and just got to know one another. I was going to introduce towards the end Carolyn to Bonnie, and they go, are you kidding me? We're best friends. We play bingo. So it was cute. All righty. So that was a win. It was a win. Praise the Lord, Pastor D. Let's pray. Father, you are good. You're a God that is winning for you're our God, and you've already won for us. And I thank you that we're on Team God and that you have wins in our life, Father. I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, your word today, that you have words for people, Father, that will bring light, bring strength, bring encouragement, lift us from one place to the next place, to the place that you've called us to. I thank you, Father, that hearts are prepared. Holy Spirit, you've done a great job. You prepare them. And I thank you, we will absorb this and act upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is lesson two. I want to tell you, I'm having so much fun in the series. It's only lessons two. And the series, by the way, if you couldn't make it last week, you can listen, go online, ycf.com, go online, listen to it for free. You can get, there's an envelope right in front of you. You can fill out the envelope and still get a CD. I still have CDs, but after I listen to them, I give them away. And my daughter Cassie calls me up usually Sunday night or Monday. Hey mom, how was church? I think it was awesome. So go listen to the CD anyway. So the series, the foundation of this series is we are looking into Jesus. Good person to look at, right? We are looking into Jesus and on his worst day ever when he hung on the cross. And by the way, that worst day ever was called Good Friday. Y'all know that? And I thought about it. It didn't look so good, but it ended good, right? So we're looking into Jesus' life, and he makes a bunch of statements while he hangs on the cross. And we are looking at those statements because those statements will give light into our path. Those statements will help us walk through our worst day. Because listen, he was having his worst day ever, right? And yet he makes these statements. Now, these statements are found in the Gospels. But you can't just read Matthew and find them all. You can't just read Luke and find them all, or you know that. So what you have to do is you have to read all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus was hanging on the tree. Or you can cheat and get a chronological Bible, and they just get it. So good. Google also will help you. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at those different statements that Jesus makes on his worst day ever, because they'll help us. Everybody say help. Help us. They'll help us. All right. The first statement he made, and we talked about it last week, and he said, Father, forgive them. Okay, so we learned Jesus on his worst day ever was tossing out forgiveness. So guess what we should be doing on our worst day ever? Forgiving people. By the way, how many of you found out it's usually people that cause my worst day ever? Oh, none of you just... Must have been, yeah, the dog, right? No, that does happen. But I'm telling you, people sometimes cause my worst day ever. All right, today we're going to look at his second statement that Jesus makes on his worst day ever. Open up to Luke 23. Luke 23. While you're getting there, Luke 23, you know, when I think about why should I look to Jesus? Because your mother said so. Because Pastor D said so. No, why should I look to Jesus? Because he's been there, done that, and experienced it all right? And one of the scriptures, do I have that one written down? Hebrews, I don't. Just write it down. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, while he hung on the cross, he could look forward and he endured it. And it also says in the second part of Hebrews 12:2 that we need to study it. Now, I was really not the best student, okay? But I am a good student now because I'm studying Jesus. And it tells us we need to study Jesus and how he did it. So that is why we're going to study his statements. But y'all at Luke 23, Luke 23. While you're at Luke 23, this is where Jesus is on the cross and he's got company, right? He's got a thief on the right and a thief on the left. He's got company. And get this, they got a dialogue going on. I'm laughing going, you got a conversation going on? Yeah, they got a conversation going on. Luke 23, starting at verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Verse 40. But the other criminal, thief, right, rebuked him and says, don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence. Verse 41. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42. All right, verse 42 is a good one. The thief goes like this and he says, hey, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. All right, so they got a conversation going on up there on your worst day ever, on Jesus's worst day ever. By the way, we talked a little bit last week. He said that he was like a punching bag, and the Bible says that he was so beat up, his mother didn't even recognize him. He was whipped, and you know, you just think of these cute little lash marks on his back. No, guys, it tore the skin, it tore the muscle off of him. He was shredded. It also says they didn't just tie him up on a cross. They nailed him to a cross, right? And then they say that the way he was hung and all this that goes on physiologically, what happens is he couldn't breathe. So he'd have to lift himself up to gasp for air. So worst day ever, right? Worst day ever. Okay. And now someone who is also having their worst day ever decides to ask him a question. Now, I don't know about you, especially last Sunday. It was not my worst day ever, okay? But people are asking me questions, and I'm like, for real, people? Okay, I'm trying to make sure the burgers get cooked and this gets going, all right? So generally speaking, on your worst day ever, do you feel like helping somebody? Raise your hand, all you perfect people. Good one. No, transform. We transform. All right, so listen. He's hanging on the cross. He's got this one guy over here asking him questions. And it can go two different, it can go a couple ways. One, I'm just ignoring you. I'm just ignoring you. Two, I'm going to tell you a few things. Or three, I'm going to help you. Okay, I'm going to help you. And that's what happens on verse 43. Let's read the last verse, verse 43. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. All right. Now, I'm not going to talk about the theology of heaven. By the way, heaven, awesome. Okay, but that's not what we're going to talk about. All right. We're going to talk about Jesus' response. We're going to talk about if Jesus, who's having his worst day ever, sees somebody else having his worst day ever, Jesus is offering help. Incredible. So, how many of you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How many of you walk in the grace of God? That's the ability of God, the wisdom of God. So if Jesus can offer help on his worst day ever, guess what? We can do it. Yeah, we can do it. Praise the Lord. All right. So the crazy thing is, when you're going through your worst day ever and you start helping somebody else, there's supernatural things that happen in your life. How many of you have had that? You just got over yourself and decided to help somebody else and whoo. Okay, well, I'm going to go over three of those points of what happens when you may be having your worst day ever, but you start helping somebody else, okay? Now, I just want to qualify this. Usually when you first have your worst day ever, okay, when it first happens, okay, it happened. It feels like you got punched in the gut. It feels like you can't even breathe. It feels like, I used to tell everybody when I went through a really big worst day ever, I felt like somebody put a blindfold on me, spun me around, and then whoosh, said, start walking. I didn't know where I was, okay? So a lot of times in our worst, in the beginning of this, our worst day ever, we're not able really to help people, okay? Warning, warning, caution, caution. Your worst day ever should not last a year, okay? Okay, all right, because you know what the tendency is, I'm having the worst day ever, and you know, some of us can, and I know you have. I know some of the horrific things, and you know, you think about Jesus, he was betrayed, he was falsely accused, he was abused, he was humiliated and stuff like that. And some of you have had those worst day evers, but the tendency is when you have those feelings and those worst day, bad days, ever, is you start isolating yourself. Anybody ever do that? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, you know, you go missing. You don't answer the phone. What else? Sometimes you just curl up in bed, pull the shades down, right? And you just withdraw and hide out. Okay, so that is not a good thing to stay in. Though, do I get it? Everybody say, I get it. I get it. And I tell everybody, I'll give you 48 hours and then I'm coming knocking on your door. And I've knocked on some of your doors. Yep, because I'm like, I love you too much to see you stay that way. All righty? So the tendency, though, is we want to isolate ourselves and then we don't go help, be like Jesus, where we go help everybody else, right? So, if you're taking notes, this is the big idea, the main idea, the one thing I want to get so deep in your heart that it just lasts and lasts and lasts. Ready? Write this down. When we focus on others, we minimize our struggle. When we focus on others, we minimize our struggle. Now, I didn't say deny it. There's a big difference. I know about denial. Okay, but write this down. When we focus on others, we minimize our struggles. So what I'd like to do right now is I want to talk about three things that will happen when you do that. There's three things. There's really more, but I'm going to crunch it down to three things that happen when you focus on others. Ready? Number one, write this down. Focusing on others will distract you from your struggles. Right? It's amazing, in the middle of our struggles, if we are focusing on somebody else, kind of, the big thing that we thought it was the big thing that I'd never lived through, that I thought was going to be horrible, and I'm all of a sudden I'm helping somebody else, I just kind of forget about it. It's not this big thing where I'm immobilized, all right? So when we focus on others, it just kind of distracts us from our struggles. Now, because I'm pastor, I deal with people a lot, probably every day, somebody who's going through a struggle. It's just part of my job description. I love your happy days. Tell me your happy days. Those are great. Love your happy days. But for the most part, I'm helping people that are going through difficult times and struggles and all this stuff. And you know what I found out in my life? I may have a struggle that I'm going, but I'm helping somebody else. And next thing I know, I don't even have time to think about my stuff. Anybody ever have that happen? You know, you realize, whew, okay, not too bad. I want to tell you a story. It's not anybody here. So do not look around going, I know who she's talking about. So I'm making up names. So I know these two ladies. One lady, I'm going to call her Lola because I think that's a cute name. If I'd have a dog, I'd call it Lola. But you know, I'm not having any animals. So I use these names in my stories. Ready? Lola, I've known her for years. And really the last 30 years of her life, she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And you've seen these people where their hands are all just curled up. And I've known her that long that she'd had multiple surgeries tried to fix it. And it never really did. And then her feet were like that. And you knew if you were talking to her and she'd stand up and she'd start walking, you knew she had pain. Just, you know, you could just watch her walk, all right? That was Lola. And I would call her up. Hey, go, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? How's your husband? How's your kids? Now she'd probably say, she's going home to be with Jesus. How's your grandkids? How's church? But I go, oh, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm doing good. Can I pray for you about anything? And she'd get out a piece of paper and start writing down all the stuff I tell her. And she'd be my prayer person, all right? Okay, that's Lola. Then there's this other lady. What? Oh, Agnes. I have an aunt named Agnes. Thank you, Jesus. My mom did not name me that. So Agnes, had stuff in her life too. And I'd call her up also, or I'd stop by and I go, "Hey, Agnes, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm going to die." She's an Italian lady. She's from North Jersey here. "I'm going to die. I'm going to die. This is terrible." And she'd go on and on. "How you doing, Agnes?" "Oh, I'm going to die. This happened today. Oh, my body, blah, 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 blah." So Agnes was a trip. It took a while to get her up. Let me tell you, try to pump her up, because she would just stay fixated, focused on her stuff in life. Now, I am not in denial of what was going on in her life. She didn't have rheumatoid arthritis or anything. She had some other physical things. But, you know, it was interesting. I knew Lola for about 25 years. She was actually depressed all the time. How many of you love hanging around with depressed people? Okay. She was depressed all the time. And you know what? It wasn't a clinical depression. It was a focus, right? She was focused. And yet, I got Lola over here, and she was distracted. She might have been in crazy pain, right? But she was distracted with others, and she never told me what was going on in her life. You could just see it, and let me tell you, I was praying with her. So, you ready? Focus on others, because it'll distract you from what's going on in your life. Now, it doesn't mean you don't deal with your life and ignore your life, but man, you're not going to be depressed, right? So, number one, focus on others. It'll distract you from your struggles. Number two, focus on others brings perspective to our struggles. Focus on others brings perspective to what's going on in our lives. In other words, somebody else always has it worse, right? Somebody else always has it worse. Remember the first time I had to go to Johns Hopkins, my daughter was 6 months old, diagnosed with bladder cancer, and it was my worst day ever. It was just horrible. Couldn't breathe, couldn't sleep, just horrible. And I had to go to Hopkins, and we went to their children's pediatric clinic. Whoa. I remember seeing this mom carrying this child who was born with no feet, just little toes and arms, just little hands sticking out there. And I thought, you know what? We just have cancer. I was looking at other people and realizing, you know, it's not too bad. Okay, we'll get on a happy subject. Y'all got really okay. Let me tell you. This was, oh gosh, this was about 20 years ago. A friend of ours, he and his wife pastored in upstate New York. They had four kids, so we hung out or once in a while because they were up in state New York and stuff. But they had two girls and two boys. We have three girls, one boy. And they had this rancher with one bathroom. One bathroom, not even a half bath, you know, that famous extra potty. No, they just had one bathroom, one bathtub, shower shabam, and one potty, one sink. And my friend Pastor Joe was complaining all the time. "Oh, I can't stand this house. This stinks. We only have one bathroom. Complain, 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 complain." He was always complaining about the bathroom situation. And I'm sure as his, you know, three girls and two boys trying to get through one bathroom. Yep, so he'd complain, complain. And then he was invited to go on a crusade in India with a friend of his in Madras. And he went to this place about 100 miles south of it. Now, India today is a little more modernized, but this is 25 years ago. And he said he gets invited to stay in the home of this family, and they have a room, a bed, with two windows. No windows, guys. Just, two holes in the wall. No screens. No curtains, okay? And he says, bugs, bugs, bugs. Bugs crawling up the wall and flying all over. And then as he geckos, he says, I didn't mind them because I thought they might be eating the bugs. So it was okay, you know. So for those of you that get creeped out on bugs. So it's his first day there. He goes to bed, wakes up the next morning, and he looks out his window, and there's a lake really close, and he sees this young man scooping up. Well, let me tell you this. The cows are kind of sacred over there, and the cows are bathing in the lake, doing their morning stuff, right? And he sees this young man scoop up a bucket, and next thing you know, he walks to the house, and there's a knock at my door, and he says, "Here's your water for your sponge bath." And he says, "I am making sure nothing's floating, let alone microorganisms, all right? And it is just like, wow. And then, you know, indoor plumbing, and I have had this experience. Indoor plumbing is just a room with a hole in the floor, okay? So that was Pastor Joe's experience. And he says, you know, they flew back into JFK, and he says, I was so tempted just to kiss the ground. He says, and I came home, and I told my wife, I will never complain about one bathroom with running water and a sink and a potty, right? Shoo! All right, so when we focus on others, it brings perspective to what's in our life. Amen? All right? Now, you start focusing on others, you know, it'll bring perspective on what's really going on in your life. Is it, you know, is it a 10, you know, a 7 or a 2? And you don't have to go to India, by the way, to have this compassion rise up where you look at other people and you go, whoa, not too bad, all right? Listen, Monday through Friday, downtown York, lunchtime. All right? You can see some hurting people. You can go visit hospitals. You can volunteer in hospitals, nursing homes. Ms. Jural and JC, go with them on a Harvest of Blessing outreach, okay? You'll see people, okay? And you get your focus off of yourself, and you're like, man, I don't have it that bad. I do not have it that bad. Everybody look at someone and say, I don't have it that bad. So when you start focusing on other, it will change your perspective, right? It'll change your perspective, all right? The last one is focusing, number three, focusing on others brings relief to our struggles. All right, let me explain this, but write it down. Focusing on others brings relief to our struggles, okay? In case you didn't know, we live under a law, the law of seed time and harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. Everybody know what that is, all right? So if you have gardens, you already got it. All right. I don't do gardens. I have neighbors. All right. But you plant something, a fruit grows, and you get there's seeds you get. So whatever you plant, it comes back with more seeds so you can keep planting again. So that's called the law of seed time and harvest, or the law of sowing and reaping. You don't even have to be a believer to have it happen. But man, if you're a believer in Jesus and you know it, big things happen. But anyway, we live under this law. We live under this sowing and reaping. We live on this. And matter of fact, Jesus said it works in a whole bunch of areas of your life, right? Last week we talked about one, forgive people and you'll be forgiven, right? There's another one, show mercy to people and mercy will be shown to you. How many of you could use a dose of mercy someday? So this is sowing and reaping. The other one is give love. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give love. Guess what could come back into your life? Because it's a law. It's a law, all right? So the crazy thing about focusing on bringing relief to others' struggles is that if you start focusing on others, this law goes into operation, and God will start bringing relief in your struggles. It's a law. It just works. So you start focusing on others. This law goes into operation, and God does these wonderful, miraculous things in your life. Praise God. Open up to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. This is cool scripture. Isaiah 58, chapter 58, verse 10 and 11. I like this. I like the law of sowing and reaping. It's a goodie, right? Isaiah 58. Okay, long, long time ago in a far, far away place, I didn't know my Bible. And then the pastor would do, open up to Isaiah 58. I'm like, gosh. Okay, so I quietly open up the beginning of my book and find where they list all of it. So that's why I say it a couple times. You can find it. All right. And those of you that have your cell phone, yeah. I still like the Bible, paper Bible. Here we go. Isaiah 58, verse 10. Here we go. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. All right. He's talking about those who are having a bad day, right? If you're hungry, you're having a bad day. If you're oppressed, you're having a bad day, right? So he says, if you spend yourselves in that, in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of what's the word back there? Oppressed. Here you go. So here's what he's saying. When you're going through your bad day, okay, how about you help somebody else in their bad day? He's just giving you examples, okay? So you're going through a bad day, but we want to help others in our bad day. The rest of that verse says, then your light will rise in the darkness. Darkness is bad day, okay? And what guess what happens? Then it lights up because you're helping somebody else. So you've got a bad day, but then it's going to light up because you're helping somebody else. The rest of the verse says, and your night will become like the noonday. Night is another type of bad day. Everybody say bad day. All right. But you start helping somebody else. Guess what happens? It lights up. It lights up. Praise the Lord. And then he gets really specific. This is the goodie. This is the whipped cream and the cherry and then the chocolate sauce. Ready? The Lord will guide you always in your bad days. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will guide you. Okay, so, but you're helping others, right? You're helping others. We're focusing on others, right? We're helping others come through their bad day. And guess what God does? He begins to guide you. How many of you need some help? Listen, I ask Google all sorts of things, but I cannot always get all my answers there. First place, God, I need your help. God, I need your wisdom. God, I got this situation. And so when you start focusing and helping others, it's saying he'll satisfy you. He'll guide you. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. So he will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land, again, in your bad day. But now you're going to be satisfied because you're helping others. And he will strengthen your frame. Okay, that's talking about your body. They'll be healing. Isn't that cool? That's what mine says, right? You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. Okay, are you doing the watering? No. No, you're not doing the watering. But you have a bad day and you're helping somebody else and God starts watering you. That's where he comes and he just blesses you. Blesses you. It's just incredible. Praise God. Listen, I've watched God do that in my life time and again, time and again, time and again. It's just wonderful. But focusing on others minimizes our struggles. Now, this is where I really want to get to. After all of that, something really powerful happens. God, okay, you got your worst bad day ever, but you are going to focus on others and God's going to help you through. He's going to water you and help you through and help you through. And then you're through. And then God says, I have something for you to do. I have a specific ministry for you to do. That's what happens, right? So write this down. Here we go. Our mishaps, that's our bad day, becomes our ministry. Our mishaps, our struggles, the big worst day ever, after God helps you, walk you through, it becomes your ministry. How many of you found that out to be true? Okay. Yeah. Well, if not, write it down. You're going to find out. Ready? Listen, if God helped you walk you through, and now you're through, okay, you're through, God has given you, listen, I'm looking at you. God has called you guys to ministries. You don't even know. Okay. You got ministries. Okay, don't think I'm warped, all right? But, you know, after Jack died and after I watched the Lord walk me through this and walk my family through this, I became so alert to people who are in that situation, having their worst day ever. And I found out, I would look at them, you are now a part of the club. You don't want to be a part of this club, but you are now a part of the club. You lost a spouse. You lost a child. And let me tell you what God did in my life, and he will do it in your life. Because I'm not smiling here for the heck of it. It's because what God did in my life. So our mishaps, our bad day, the thing you thought you never get out of, and now it's hopefully a year later, not 5 years later, but you find that you're out and you're through, God will call you to ministry. Say, I'm called with ministry. How many of you have ever had a mishap? Like half your world blow up, right? Yeah. Okay, and now you're on the other side. You have ministry, guys. You have ministry. And there's power in that ministry. Now, not that you have to experience it, you know, but when you have, man, you got ministry. Woo, you've got ministry. Now, the really interesting thing, many times while you're in it, and especially afterwards, what the devil wants to do is make you feel shame. I did this in my life. Oh, man, I did this in my life. No, no, no. Listen, God doesn't say that to you. Oh, man, you are pitiful. I know what you did. All right. He says, no, no, no. I have walked you through. And now I have given you a story to tell. And the same power of God, the faithfulness of God, the love of God that you saturated yourself with and encouraged yourself with and just basked in the Lord, you get to be a ministry person. So everybody say, I have a ministry. Yay. Okay. I'll give you a scripture. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians verse 1. 2 Corinthians verse 1. Ah, no. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Read your notes, Pastor D. All right. Now, guys, you're all called to help people. You don't have to wait till you have a mishap and you get through it. You see somebody in need, help them. Okay, we're all called to be lights and helpers. Okay, but I'm talking specifically. You've had your worst bad day ever, your mishap, your struggle, and you have walked through to the other side. That's what I'm talking about. Then I'm talking something really specific. Then you're called into ministry of that. So here we are, 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. This is the Message Bible. All praise to God, the Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, the Father of all mercies, God of all healing and counsel. Verse 4, He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, aka bad day. In other words, mishaps. Okay, He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. Woo! That is glorious. That is wonderful. Okay? So, how was God there for you in your mishap? Just think about it, all right? Now, go tell somebody. Go tell somebody, all right? I have my friend Bonnie. Come on up here. Okay, this is my friend Bonnie, and she had the worst day ever. It lasted a year, not because Bonnie was moving through it, okay? And I asked her to tell you her worst day ever and the ministry that God's placed her in.
Okay, got tissues.
Yep, 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 yep. Okay.
I haven't shared this with too many people, but I'm going to share it with you.
Okay, so we all have a story. We've all been through something that we can use to help someone else. So this is my story. I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Oh, here we go.
Yep.
I can do this.
Yes, you can. That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, wait.
It's a good story.
It is. It's a great story. Okay, January 2017. Oh, my gosh.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, I went through 6 rounds of chemo. Gained 25 pounds.
Eh.
Worst pain of my life.
Eh.
During that time, though, I prayed for more people than I've ever prayed for in my life. I worked from my home office. My office, my company, my agency allowed me to work from my home. Sold more business than I ever did in my whole career. Okay, but I was completely focused on reaching out to everyone that I spoke to. I was reading this book called, from Dodie Osteen, Healed of Cancer.
Awesome book. It's a little mini book. I checked. It's not in the bookstore.
I bought a box of them because I was sending so many out. Kept sending my husband to the post office to buy more stamps. Right.
To mail them out.
Anyway, so there's 40 scriptures on there that I stood on through my whole the whole year. I was getting down. I had just finished my 5th chemo treatment, and I was ready to do my 6th. I felt like I couldn't do anymore. I felt like I was And I had, my husband said, Bonnie, and my friends were saying, you only have one more, only one more to do. And I said, one more for someone to try and kill me. I can't do any more. And I went outside, and you can't make this stuff up. I went outside, sitting at my pond, and I broke down, bawling. And I said, God, I can't do any more. And I look up, and there is a cloud above my barn in the shape of an anchor. An anchor. It was very clear. It wasn't like bunnies and rabbits and something else. It was an anchor in the top of my barn. And I said, so you're telling me that I'm allowing life to just move me, and I'm not steadfast. I'm allowing the winds of life to just push me around. Is that what you're saying to me? Heard nothing. The next day, I was on the list to deliver a meal. I was on a food train.
Giving to somebody else on their worst bad day.
I was supposed to make a meal for the family I knew the lady. Her husband was in a serious car accident, broke both of his legs, and she just couldn't. She had a business trying to run everything, and I was making a meal. I took it to her job where I was supposed to give it to her, and she wasn't there. And I thought, well, she's probably out with a client. She'll come back. I waited 15 minutes. I finally called her because I had her home number. She said, Bonnie, I'm at home. Where are you? I said, well, I'm sitting in your parking lot at your job. She said, but I didn't know you were on the list. I am so sorry. I said, where do you live? She lived right around the corner from me. I didn't know that. I never knew where she lived. And she said, well, please, I'm so sorry. Can you bring it to my house? I said, absolutely. I'm driving. First of all, I'm feeling terrible. And I'm driving to her, and I turn on the radio, and Joel Osteen's on. And he said, in today's message, hope is the anchor of your soul. So I'm listening to this message for 15 minutes driving out to her, because had this not happened, I wouldn't have heard this. Crying and crying, this whole thing's ministering to me. I get to her, and I'm a wreck, and she was so happy that I brought this food to her. So I ordered the CD, and exactly as I pictured, my cloud on the front of that CD is that anchor. Hope is the anchor of your soul. I went through my last chemo treatment. Oh, and one thing I do want to mention is that during my whole treatment, I had friends that came and saw me, came to visit me, brought me meals. Every time I had a chemo treatment, I had a gift from an old friend, Bunny, that little rabbit that said, somebody loves you. Cards, handwritten, text messages, just very loving, just little gestures, but it meant so much to me. Last chemo treatment I had, they then sent me for a PET scan, did other tests, came back to the doctor, and he said, my dear, we're going to take this port out. We usually keep it in for a year. But you're cancer-free, my dear. You go live a long life. So I found out that my son's friend's mother has breast cancer. And I really never knew her really well. I just knew her that she was my son's friend's mother. But what I did, when I found out she was going to have 6 chemo treatments, my heart went out to her. I mean, I wept for this woman because I know what it was like. I know what it's like. I know what she has ahead of her. And what I said to her was, after every treatment, I'm going to bring you a meal. You let me know on the day when you start, you'll recognize what day you start to feel a little tired. You tell me, because I'm going to bring a meal to you. It happened like every 4 days after her treatment. And I would go there, and then I would send her little notes of compassion and love, and I would go visit her, and I would pray with her. And I wanted to do that because I understood, because I had never been through pain before like I went through, but because I understood it, I understood what she was going through, and I wanted to help her. So what is she doing now? She's cancer-free, so thank you, Jesus. But she's also a believer. She's also a believer, and she is now organizing a food drive for people who are sick in her development. So I challenge you to do something for someone else and watch what God does. We all have a story. We all can help someone else. Maybe you can cook for someone. Maybe you're a good cook. You can cook someone who's sick, or maybe a single mother who's working two jobs and she doesn't have time to cook for her family. You can do that. Maybe you like to read. Well, why don't you read out loud to someone who's an older person in an old folks' home, and maybe read the Bible to them. Maybe you went through financial hardship and now you're debt-free. Why don't you teach someone? Maybe you paid off your house. Maybe you helped someone to pay off their house. Everyone has a story. Let them see that you understand and you want to help. So what have I learned? God's my healer. God's my peace in the midst of my storm. All of my days he will fulfill. And with long life he will satisfy me, because I'm not satisfied yet. Amen. You did it.
Well, I don't have to do my last two pages here. So here's my question. What's your mishap? What has happened in your life? Now, what is your ministry? What is your ministry? You know, you may not have had to go through cancer, glory be. You may not have had a divorce, a bankruptcy, a physical thing. But just what mishap do you have in your life that now you can be a minister? Praise God. And your ministry is so powerful, because you get to cheer them on. Like, honey, I got this. I'm praying. I got you. I'm praying for you. I will pray for you. Okay, so I have one more scripture. Revelation chapter 12. Ready? Revelation 12. Guys, there is so much power in your story. Praise God. And you should write this down. Our story brings salvation. And I'm not talking about salvation, someone gets born again, but salvation meaning freedom. Your story brings salvation, freedom, strength, hope. That was a good word, hope, all right? Revelation 12, 11. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, for they did not love their lives but laid them down for him. They, meaning Christians, defeated him, meaning the bad day, the devil, okay, the enemy. So you have two weapons while you're doing this. You have two weapons, the blood of the Lamb. Jesus was called the Lamb of God that was slain before. The Lamb was sinless. If you've received Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life, he has washed away your sins. You stand before him as a child of God. You stand before him so loved. You stand before him with the authority to use the name. That's pretty cool. So by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. So better yet, by the story. By your story. Tell your story. Tell your story, guys, to people. Praise God. So our mishaps can become our ministry. Our mishaps, when we focus on others, they just kind of don't look so bad. Amen? Praise God. I want to challenge you to ask God every day, Lord, put somebody in my path. Now, if you've been through it, if you're in the middle of it, I'll talk about that in a second. But if you've been through big stuff, right? Shoo, I thought just getting kids through high school was big stuff. So if you've been through getting kids through high school, that is big stuff. All right? But Lord, put people in my path that I can tell my story, that I could pray for, that I could, you know, sometimes you're not a cooker. I have this one friend, you don't want her to cook. You'll be in the bathroom, okay? But she is this, she's very, I call her Fluffy, excuse me, but she's just a great writer. And I get these little notes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like $1 million. If you're one of those that you just write this encouragement, maybe that's the part of your story that you get to help. Don't be a cook. All right, go help. Okay. Be the person that prays and stuff like that. So get up every day. Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, I thank you and I give you all praise and glory that you have given me a story, that you have walked me through, that my days are good days because of you. I thank you for the story. And Lord, here am I. Use me. Put people in my life that I can be a blessing to. Praise God. Now, if you're in the middle of your mishap, if you're in the middle of your worst bad day ever, all right, could you call the church? I'm believing God to read minds, okay, all the time. It's called words of knowledge and words of wisdom, all right? But it doesn't happen all the time. So pick up the phone, call the church office and say, Pastor Dan, I'm going through this. I will pray with you. If I am not that person to be ministering, I will send you to a counselor. Or better yet, we got people here that have stories. I look at each one of you, and I'm not going to blurt out your stories, but we got people here at YCF, and I'll hook you up with them. I've done that before. I said, listen, I got this person. They're going through a really big thing. And I called Sister So-and-so, and I said, listen, they're going to go hook up with them. And they did, and they helped them walk through it. So, you know, call us. Call us. I love when this, y'all didn't do this. I remember one time. Feel sorry for me, ready? So I'm walking down the foyer down to this girl's room, and some lady comes storming out, and she yelled at me, how come you weren't here when blankety blank happened? No, they weren't bad words. I just said situation. And I was like, duh, I didn't know. Okay? You got to let us know when things are going on in your life. And she left the church. 5 years later, I got a I'm sorry thing. But man, I was like shot with bullet holes. It hurt. I didn't know. I don't know. I love it when I find out the next week that so-and-so in your family passed away. Could you just let us know? Okay? We want to support you. All right? So give us a call, by the way. All righty. So let's pray. Hey, you know, it doesn't take like a whole big thing. It can be a one-on-one where you just get to be a blessing and tell your story. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You can be involved in this, all right? So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus, for your words that you spoke on the cross on your worst bad day ever. I thank you. Those words have brought light into us, empowered us, given us direction. And we thank you for the story that we now have to be a part of your team. The team that the Bible says of the ministry of reconciliation, simply Team Jesus, to go help others that need help. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You just keep this before us as the days go by. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.